We've talked about it previously, but I want to remind you that we are in a spiritual battle. You might not see it, but flip with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, Galatians and Ephesians in 6, and down in verse 12, just a reminder for us that says this: for we wrestle not, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our spiritual battle isn't with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have been going through the book of Ezekiel, and I remind you as we come here this morning, as the message is on seraphim and extraterrestrials, if we get that far, but God created only two kinds of living beings. First of all, he created human beings, and human beings are created in his own image and in his own likeness. And then he created angelic beings as well. That's all the kinds of beings that he created. He didn't create ETs. He didn't create aliens. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but he created two kinds of beings. Now, I'm not saying that angelic beings, the evil angelic beings, that they can't masquerade as something else. I mean, even God's good angels, when they came to Sodom and Gomorrah, they thought they were what? They thought they were men. And I'm just saying that as we approach the end times, God allows a strong delusion to be perpetrated upon mankind with lying signs and wonders. So remember, scripturally, Psalms 8, verse 4 through 6, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And then it says this: for thou made him a little lower than the angels. We don't have the power, we don't have the mobility, we don't have the intellect of the angels. However, we have more dominion. It says, for he hath made him, man, a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. He's given us glory and honor that the angels don't have. He's told us that we have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the earth. Even though above the earth, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. It says, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Now remember that there are two categories of angelic beings. You must not forget that. There are faithful angelic beings that do the bidding of God. We read in Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. And so there are the faithful angels. That is two-thirds of all the angelic beings. I don't know how many there are, but there are plenty, and they are powerful. One single angel decimated Sennacherib's army. So angels are powerful. Even Michael the archangel wouldn't contend with Satan over the body of Moses, but he called upon the Lord and said, the Lord rebuke thee, because I'll tell you what, you don't want to mess with demons. I'll tell you what, that's why I warn you about not messing around with tarot cards, not messing around with horoscopes, not messing around with Ouija boards, any of those type of things. Demonic beings are evil and mighty. Oh, they masquerade as angels of light. We're told about that, but they hate God, and they hate those created in the image of God, which are, by the way, us. So there are faithful angels, and there are fallen angels. The head of the faithful angels, as I read it, is Michael. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, he's the head of the faithful angels. And Satan, the dragon, formerly called Lucifer, is the head of the fallen angels. He uses them. They're called the deacons. Oh, boy. I got a deacon's meeting after this. What am I going to do now? They're called the demons. I have good deacons. How do I get out of that, Brian? I don't know. Maybe. There are also a variety of angels. The general population, the army of angels, are called the angelic host. They are God's army. I've told you about the account of how the angels have protected a missionary, and I told you that story, a true story, by the way. And these different varieties of angels, we know that there is archangels, I believe. The only one named, though, is Michael, and he's called the archangel. And the reason I say that there are likely more than one archangel is because of Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, that says Michael, and then it says this, one of the chief princes came to help me. If they say one, that means that there are others. But only Michael is named. And he's named twice in the scripture, 1 Thessalians 4:16 and Jude chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, in my last message, we looked at the four-headed, four-winged cherubims. We found about them in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10. And they are amazingly odd-looking creatures. I am going to be looking at the seraphim. And actually, when you see the word in the Bible, it's seraphims, plural. Seraphim are angelic beings connected with the holiness of God, connected with the throne of God. The word seraphim, it's very interesting, comes from the Hebrew word saraph, which actually means a fiery or copper-colored snake. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 6 in our King James Version of the Bible, it is translated flying, a fiery flying serpent. Now, the Holman Bible Dictionary notes seraphim likely means the burning ones, and seraphim, which is a plural word, were winged serpents that decorate the images of the throne of the Egyptian pharaohs. However, I cast that aside, and here's why. This doesn't match the biblical description of seraphim. And if anybody knows me, I'm going to go with what the Bible says. And Isaiah chapter 6, I want you to understand that, and you can look at your notes or look at Isaiah chapter 6 in your Bible. Isaiah 6 is the only place in the Bible that specifically mentions the seraphim's name. It's twice. And we find that they're round about the throne of God. The seraphims in Isaiah's vision are proclaiming and protecting God's holiness because God is high and lifted up. Let's see what the Bible has to say about these extremely interesting angelic beings. Isaiah 6, and we read this in verses 1 through 7. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Now watch this. One each had six wings. See, they're different than the cherubims. They had four wings, okay? With two, twain, he covered his face. With two, twain, he covered his feet. And with twain, too, he did fly. Now watch. And one cried to another. It's kind of like antiphonally singing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Now, they didn't shout that in a meek way. It was a booming way, because look what happened next. It says, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now here's Isaiah, and he's seeing this. Then said I, woe is me! Here you are in the presence of a holy God, and you see it proclaimed, and you hear it proclaimed, and it's shaking everything. And Isaiah the prophet, he's called to prophesy here, he says, I don't belong here. Woe is me, for I am undone. What does that mean? I mean, the guy is shaken all over to the core of his being. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs off the altar. Where is this? This is the heavenly temple, my friends. This is the heavenly tabernacle. The earthly one was modeled after the heavenly one. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. You know who's sitting on the throne? It's King Jesus who's sitting on the throne. King Uzziah, here's the situation. King Uzziah had a long reign. King Uzziah reigned for 52 years, and it was a time of expansion. It was a time of achievement. It was a time of peace. It was a time of prosperity. The problem was, King Uzziah didn't want to follow God's word. King Uzziah wanted to do his own thing and do his own way, and he got so caught up in the prosperity, he got so caught up in the achievements of things, like so many people who have money and live in nice houses and have enough food to eat, they forgot God. I challenge you, if you're in a good place, praise God and remember how you got there. It's God who gives you your health. It's God who gives you the ability to work. It's God who allows you to have a job. And just because your bread's buttered on both sides, don't say, I don't need God. That's what Uzziah did. He was taking credit. He was reaching down. He's patting himself on his own back. But God, that's why we read Psalm 1. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. It didn't matter that he had reigned. It didn't matter that it was a prosperous time, because God struck him with leprosy, which ultimately took his life. Wow. He died. The people were mourning. You can read about it in 2 Kings 15, 1 through 7. We're not going to do it. 2 Chronicles 26. The prophet Isaiah was concerned. A strong economy and peace. Now listen to this. A strong economy and peace were a veneer that covered their horrendous spiritual condition. You know, that's where America is. You know, they've got, you know, Biden says, oh, look at, we're prosperous. So he's going to tax and spend, and he'll probably send us more money. He's running the printing press. But spiritually, our nation is a mess, friends. There's a small veneer over the manure. And so, you know, Isaiah, is saying, what is going to happen to Judah? God's surely going to judge them. Isaiah's troubled.
Yes.
And we should be troubled too, but God wanted to shift his focus. God wanted Isaiah, who he's going to call to prophesy to them, God wanted him to see, even though there is chaos on earth, he's still in control of heaven. He's still in control in heaven. God shifts his focus and lifts his eyes from himself and his people to the throne of God. Certainly there was confusion and unrest in Judah, but there was perfect peace in heaven. You know, God was seated on his throne, and his train filled the temple. Woo-hoo! Oh no, not that kind of train. It used to be, and occasionally there still is, when the bride comes down the aisle, you know what the train is, it's that long. Well, God's robe and the train of his white holiness filled the entire heavenly temple. Purity. Purity. You know, while the people on earth are lamenting the shame at the death of Uzziah, Isaiah sees no shame or failure in heaven. In fact, God says the earth is filled with his glory, though it looks like chaos right now. God will have his way in his time. Amen? And here is where Isaiah encounters the seraphims. They are amazing angelic beings. Each of them, as we saw, they have six wings in contrast to the four wings of the cherubims. But I want you to see this. They used two of them to fly, and we already told you that, two of them to cover their feet and two to cover their faces. Why did they cover their faces? They're created beings, and they cannot look upon God. That's why two covered their faces. But they knew who was there. Because you know what they did 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year? They antiphonally said, holy, holy, holy. We have, my friends, a thrice holy God. And is it any wonder that he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. God the Father is holy. Amen?
Amen.
God the Son is holy. Amen?
Amen?
God the Holy Spirit is holy. Amen?
Amen?
And that is what was going on thundering in heaven. So I had presume that you would need ear protection. It was rattling everything in heaven. Now I say that these angels were saying it because God is a thrice holy God, though some of the commentators, I think that's what they are, is commentators. They say, no, that's not talking to of that, but I believe it is, because verse 8 says, the Lord says to Isaiah, who will go for us?
Yes.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful that God the Father is in heaven, and right next to him is God the Son, who is there to make intercession for us. And God the Holy Spirit is here on earth in us as believers, and he is making groanings which cannot be uttered to God the Son, who takes them to God the Father. And so, praise God, we have access into the holy, holy, holy presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
So pray. I don't care if it's the little stuff. Pray for the little stuff. Don't wait for the big stuff. Pray at the beginning of your day. Ask wisdom. Lynn and I so often pray, Lord, there's so much on our plates. Give us wisdom into the decisions that we must make and what you want accomplished. And I'll tell you what, a lot of times it's fruit basket upset, because what I think is important, all of a sudden God horns in and says, nope, that's not what's going to happen. And we have to be flexible, because God should have veto power. Amen?
Amen.
Thy kingdom come. It doesn't say my will be done. It says thy will be done. The angelic beings, right here, we don't know how many there were, and they called one to another, holy, holy, holy. The threefold repetition of the word holy suggests supreme, complete holiness of God, and I believe that that's why God wants us to be holy.
Amen.
Now, although they're not named, I believe that if you'll turn with me to Revelation chapter 4 in verse 6 through 8, I believe we encounter these seraphims again. Revelation chapter 4. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Let me tell you what that sea of glass was. It is gold. It is so pure gold that it is translucent. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne, there were, now this time, it gives the number. We don't know how many were in the throne room in Isaiah, but here it gives a number. There were four beasts, and then it says this. They were full of eyes before and behind. Now, it's different than the cherubims. The cherubims had four heads or four faces on their head. These don't. Look at what it says here. The first beast, so it separates it. The first beast was like a what?
Lion.
The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings. And wow, look at this. It says it again twice. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is exactly why I believe that Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4 are speaking of the same angelic beings.
Amen.
And then you know what they pronounce? We dare not miss this. Which was. God always was. In the beginning, what? God. Which is, he's ever current, he is omniscient, and he is omnipresent. He's everywhere present, and is to come. God in the past, God in the present, and God forever. My heart goes out to the, I'm just going to say it, to the blind lunatics who are such fools who say there is no God. You look out in God in creation all over the place. Anybody knows that Brian and Joe and me and Steve, we didn't just gather together here with a pile of lumber and no plan and said, let's make a church. And so we spread out the lumber and prayed for a tornado so that we could have a church. You know, I still have the plans of the designer down in my office. And do you know that the human being is so much more intricate? I can remember in science protons, neutrons, and electrons, and they said they're the smallest particles. Tain't true. They've discovered more smaller particles, even now, you know. And it is so, so interesting. We have a God that is and was and is to come. And you have to have your eyes closed to not see God in creation. It did not just happen. Unlike the four-faced cherubims, they each only had one face, and there's no mention of wheels. They had eyes everywhere. They worshiped the Lord God Almighty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and a quarter days a year. Now, we have a clear picture of the seraphim angels. And I do have time to go to extraterrestrials. Woo! Extraterrestrials and life on other planets. The question posed, is there life on other planets? Is there life in outer space? Do aliens fly around in flying saucers? The idea of intelligent life on other planets in outer space basically was popularized, he's dead now and learned different, by Carl Sagan. You see, Carl Sagan was a popular evolutionist, and he and others posited or speculated that since life evolved on Earth, which it didn't, but here's their premise, since life evolved on Earth by natural process, intelligent life must exist somewhere else in the far reaches of outer space, given the size of the universe and the millions of possible planets. Do you know why they're spending the billions of dollars? Now they're on Mars, and they even got a little helicopter that's kind of blah, 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 and we see Mars pictures, and we see all the well-developed Mars civilization. Not. But that's what they're trying to do. They're spending all this kind of money. But, you know, I reject the evolutionary presupposition human life evolved, and therefore extraterrestrial life must have evolved someplace else. During the 6 days of creation, we learn that God created the earth first. On day four, he made the sun, the moon, and the earth. And then, as a postscript, it says, and he made the stars also. Genesis 1:16. You see, the scripture views the earth as the primary focus of the universe. You know why? Because God created man in his own image. Everything else was made for the purpose of relating to earth. For instance, the sun, the moon, the stars were made to divide the day from the night, and for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Read Genesis 1:14. Psalm 115, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, and the earth hath he made, or hath he given, excuse me, and the earth hath he given to the children of man. Earth is special. He made it for man to live in. It's the focus of his attention. It was on earth that God created man in his own image, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. However, Adam and Eve sinned. Now I want you to catch this. Adam and Eve sinned and brought a curse upon the whole of God's creation. That means everything. That means the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. The Bible is clear. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain. We see that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. Why? Because of Adam's sin. When Adam fell, my friends, when Adam fell, the entire universe, and I want to say it again, the entire universe was affected. Not only this, now watch this, but one day in the future, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. They're going to depart as a great scroll. Isaiah 34:4 says, look at this, and all the hosts of heaven were dissolved. Who are the hosts of heaven? Angelic beings. Who are the hosts of earth? Human beings. And all the hosts of heaven were dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. I have a scroll there. I roll it out. I have to prop it up on the ends, because if I take those weights off of it, you know what happens? It goes. The heavens, plural, shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the host shall fall down as a leaf off of the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. There's a big problem with aliens. And I'm not talking about the kind that are coming across. I'm talking about extraterrestrials. There's a big problem here. If there are aliens and they're on other planets, then they would have been affected by the fall of Adam, because the whole creation was affected. So these beings would have to die, because death was the penalty for sin. One day their planet will be destroyed by fire during God's final judgment, and they cannot have salvation, because that blessing was only given to humans. Just humans. So I don't care, you know, they got the aliens divided, they got them into the grays, and, you know, they got different divisions of aliens. When Jesus stepped into history, he became the God-man. The Bible calls him the last Adam, the second Adam. He became the second perfect man. Adam was perfect before he sinned. Jesus never sinned, so he took the place of the first Adam by dying for the human race. And the first Adam was the representative or the federal head of the human race. Jesus became the new head and the last Adam. So there can be no other Savior, only Christ. And Jesus now sits in heaven, still in human form, glorified. And he sits on the throne next to God the Father. If Jesus stepped out of his human form, we would no longer have a Savior. And he remains the God-man, thankfully, forever. So how do I account for all these ETs? Well, to be real honest with you, demons can masquerade as alien beings. I have told you the true story of the young man who's involved in the occult. And he had a man step to the end of his bed who was the same man he had been reading about in his occult comic book. And that man told him to tear up his Bible, so he tore up his Bible. A little bit later, the man appeared to him again and said, "Go out and buy 4 steak knives and kill your brother and sister, your mom and your dad." And so he actually labeled the knives and put them under his bed, waiting for the opportunity to do the deed that was told him, when thankfully his mother found them underneath his bed between the mattress and the box springs. And that's when I got involved. You see, demons can masquerade. And having been an occult researcher for 20 years, I could give you numerous illustrations of that taking place. And I believe that they're masquerading, and we'll see next week in Sunday school, I believe that they're masquerading as aliens, because I believe it's very likely when the rapture takes place that the story is going to be all the bad people got abducted by aliens. But do you know, when I was doing all my research into the count, I found that so many people who saw aliens or were alien abducted had been hypnotized multiple times. Don't mess with hypnotism, because it steers around your normal resistant mechanisms that are there. My friends, there are only 2 types of beings. There are human beings created in the image of God, and there are angelic beings. But just like with human beings, there's evil ones and there's faithful ones. There's born-again people, and then there's unborn-again people. And the evil angels are demons. And I will tell you this. I believe that there are UFOs. But let me qualify that. You know what UFO stands for? Unidentified flying objects. I have seen a UFO along with 6 policemen and about a dozen firemen. But you know what I believe that it was? Because I saw it come down like this, I saw it go like this, and go like this. It was a good eye-opener when I went to the Oshkosh EAA Air Museum. Have any of you seen a Harrier jet? You know what a Harrier jet does? It can come up off the ground, and when it fires its engines fully, you know what it does? Whoa! I mean, this baby went, whoa! Now, Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. And, you know, nobody can, humanly speaking, they cannot make an aircraft. Human beings could not stand the G-force of something going 1,200 miles an hour like this and then going like this. I believe, again, we're dealing with demonic phenomenon. Now, I also believe that they're experimenting all the time with new types of weapons. Like I'd never seen a Harrier jet before, and it wasn't like I was nuts because the policeman, and I was a fireman at the time, and the other firemen saw the same thing in the field, but we lived near Selfridge Air Force Base. And so I think they were experimenting with the prototypes of the Harrier jets and that sort of things that were going on at that time. I just don't want you to get all wrapped up, you know, Project Blue Book on the History Channel. And ancient aliens, we know that the ancient aliens likely came and lifted up the rocks at Stonehenge and put up the things at Easter Island. You got too much time on your hands if you got to spend a lot of time messing with that kind of stuff. So, my friends, as I conclude things this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God created us in His image and likeness so that we could choose Him and live forever. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm telling you that there's 7 of the worst years the world has ever known. We didn't get to it this morning, friends. But we're going through the tribulation time. Some of you ought to come to Sunday school. But the tribulation time, do you realize just in the first 3.5 years that 1/4 of the earth's population, 2 billion people, are going to lose their lives in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and 2/3 more as time goes on? God says, except that He would shorten it, there would be no flesh saved. I know it's not right English, but I ain't going to be there.
Amen.
And you don't have to be there either. You say, Pastor, are you trying to scare me? I don't care if it scares you. You ought to be scared. Some people get scared enough about hell and the tribulation and the rapture. Any of you here get saved because you heard the message of the rapture coming? Any of you, let me see if there's anybody who got here because they were fearful about the rapture. Yep, 1, 2, all right. It's a biblical truth. And I just tell you that the demonic angels want to do everything they can to deceive you, even to get you to think there are aliens from Nanu Nanu. Excuse me, I took off my pointed ears this morning. But all kidding aside, heaven is a wonderful place. And the lake of fire is, I don't know how to describe it except a place of torment for all of eternity.